The language may be foreign, but is this voice familiar?
My Yiddish mama es gibt nicht besser in der Welt. A Yiddish mama, oi weh wie bitter, wenn sie fällt.
Neil Sedaka is sitting at the Baby Grand in his Park Avenue apartment. He's preparing to play a concert of Yiddish music at Carnegie Hall on Thursday night. This is the same Neil Sedaka, so well known for a 50-year string of pop hits he's written since he was a teenager, including Breaking Up Is Hard to Do and Laughter in the Rain. But he says this music filled him first.
Nicht halten ihr Teil, das ist gewiss der größte Sinn. Oh, I know that I owe what I am today to that dear little lady so old and gray, to that wonderful Yiddish mama, oh, mama of mine.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
You're Thank welcome.
You. 1961, you're on the Ed Sullivan Show, and you wanted to sing that song.
Yes, it was the year I wrote Calendar Girl. It was on the top of the charts, and I was very excited. Ed Sullivan was coast to coast alive Sunday night, and I was to do Calendar Girl and Yiddish Mama. Mm-hmm. And Ed Sullivan asked that I delete Yiddish Mama. He thought perhaps it was too ethnic, and I wanted to do it very badly, and I had a very big mouth manager who spoke up for me, and lo and behold, we convinced Ed Sullivan that it would be good for the program.
Why were these songs and Yiddish music important to you?
You know, I think the heritage, the tradition, even my first pieces that I wrote were very ethnic in flavor. You are the answer to my lonely prayer. You are an angel from above. I was so lonely till you came to me with the wonder of your love. I was raised in a Jewish family, not religious, but I learned to appreciate the customs and the traditions. Mm-hmm. And I loved the music.
Can you tell people outside of New York what Brighton Beach was like back in the 50s?
I grew up in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, right after World War II. It was a very wonderful time. You never locked your door. Mm-hmm. You drop into neighbors for Danish and coffee. Mostly Jewish and Italian people. Everyone wanted their children to be either a lawyer, a doctor, or a professional person. Mm-hmm. And especially the Jewish people always had a piano in their home so that their kids could learn the piano.
But how did your parents feel about you going into show business at such an early age?
My mother was horrified because I would take time away from practicing my Chopin and Bach mm-hmm. to write rock and roll. She said, I give you a 6 months leave of absence from Juilliard, and if you can do something within 6 months, then we'll let you pursue it. Mm-hmm. But she did get used to it because I bought her mink stole, which we called a Hadassah talus.
That took care of her qualms.
She was very happy, and every time one of my songs came on the radio, she would open up her window like, remember the program Molly Goldberg?
Sure. Yeah.
Yoo-hoo! And she would yell across the way to a neighbor and say, Neil is on the radio.
What kind of music were you playing when you were at Juilliard? I mean, what was a standard recital piece for you?
Oh, I played the third Prokofiev piano sonata, Rifle d'Anlo, Debussy, the Wolstein Beethoven sonata, Preludes and Fugues of Bach. I studied for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Can you still play it? Do you still play it?
I can play a little. I could play if I practiced a bit more.
Yeah. I'm I understand why you'd want to be a rock star, but what did you think of the music? Did you like rock and pop?
You know, I started writing in the style of George Gershwin, Rodgers and Hart, and then when Earth Angel by the Penguins came out, Earth Angel, will you be mine? I was a teenager growing up in Brooklyn, New York, and it was very exciting music. It was teenage music that came from the streets, and I convinced Howard Greenfield, who was my collaborator, to write rock and roll, and I loved it. The first songs that were recorded were by black artists on Atlantic Records. I walked into Ahmet Erdogan and Jerry Wexler and sold songs to Clyde McFadda, Dinah Washington, Laverne Baker. And I asked them if they wanted to record mine. And they said, your voice is too unusual. We'll take the song, but we're passing on the voice. And then I was in the Brill Building in New York. And it was Steve Scholes, who had just brought Elvis from Sun Records to RCA, who signed me to a contract in 1958 as a singer-songwriter.
What was that old Brill Building like, this community of songwriters?
Very exciting. Howard Greenfield and I were the first to go in. We were 17, 18 years old. It was a little cubicle with no windows, just a little piano in a room, and you wrote for the contemporary artists of the day. And at one time, we controlled the top 10 in Billboard magazine between Carole King and Neil Diamond and Paul Simon and myself. It was very exciting.
So you guys were all in the Brill Building?
Yes. And at the end of the day, we would go and sit down and play what we had written that day. And the one who had the most exciting song for a particular artist would get that recording.
Was there, looking back on it now, and maybe even at the time this was identified in your mind, was there a kind of sound the Brill Building group had that came out of listening to each other and bouncing songs off each other?
Well, we had to write hooks. We had to write singable pieces and something that was memorable. So I was the king of the tralalas and doobie-doos. That became a Neil Sedaka trademark. Down doobie-doo, down, down. Comma, comma, down doobie-doo, down, down. And each song had a little bit of a onomatopoeia, a little doobie-doo. Don't take your love, doobie-doo, down, away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. Now, mind you, behind was down, doobie doo, down, down.
That's breaking up and it's hard to do.
That's breaking up is hard to do, which I think is, I have about seven or eight pieces that will outlive me. Love Will Keep Us Together, Laughter in the Rain, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, Calendar Girl. Solitaire has been recorded by Elvis and Karen Carpenter and Shirley Bassey and 12, 15 people. It comes back to my classical roots. Chopin-esque a bit. It's a marvelous feeling to know that the songs might outlive me. You know, everybody wants some form of immortality. And it's a great gift. I never take it for granted.
How do you write a song? Is there any one way?
I start at the piano with a accompaniment, a piano accompaniment tempo, and pray a lot. With a voice, I look for a melody. And then I usually look for what I call a drop-dead chord, something that would excite me. I'm in the key of F, C7, B-flat minor 7, and I'm in a new key, so it's... I feel the warmth of the hand in mine. Ooh, I left her in the rain, walking hand in hand with the one I love. At the end, we put the words to it. Yeah. But first comes the beat and the melody.
you have had hit songs in the 50s, 60s, every decade until this one.
It's about five decades. I try very hard. It doesn't come easily. And the older you get, the more picky you get. I'm very serious about it. I love what I do. I didn't write the best one yet.
Mr. Sedaka, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure.
Is there a song you'd like to do that we can end this segment with in our show?
Let me think. Oh, love, love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, whenever some sweet talking guy comes along, singing a song. Don't mess around, you just gotta be strong. Now stop, really love you. Stop thinking of you. Look in my heart and let love keep us together.
Neil Sedaka performs an evening of Yiddish music this Thursday night at Carnegie Hall. To hear excerpts from his latest CD, Brighton Beach Memories, Neil Sedaka Sings Yiddish, you can go to our website, npr.org.
I'm not warmed up yet.
Oh, you're great.
It's too high.
What a showman. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sedaka.